Welcome to Medroom Chronicles. Join nurses and other care providers as they let you in on discussions usually reserved for the privacy of the locked medication room. In this weekly nursing podcast, the filters come off and we tell it like it is. Your hosts, nurses Adrienne Benning and Andrew Craig, are here to educate and entertain on all things in the nursing world. This podcast is intended for nursing students, nurses, nursing assistants, and other care providers. Non-medical folk will probably get a kick out of us too. If you like what you hear, subscribe and share. Happy nursing, folks. Hey guys, it's a new day for Medroom Chronicles. Why? Because I got my brand new Blue Yeti microphone and I am so excited about it. So today I wanted to come to you and do just a little informal chat so that I could use the mic. I have some interviews lined up for later this week and next week, and I hope to be bringing you some new content, but for now, you just get me. So today I want to talk about something near and dear to my heart that I've been thinking a lot about. I actually recorded a rant about this, but I went back and looked at it and was like, wow, I sounded really angry. And at the moment I was, because I had some people make some suggestions to me about how we do things on night shift that I didn't find especially knowledgeable or wise. In any case, what I want to talk to you about today is being guardians of sleep. We protect our patients in every way. We are in charge of all of their body systems, their medications, their therapeutic interventions. We want to make them better. But one thing that I find that most units that I've worked on, granted, not all of them, could do a lot more to ensure that there's a restful, quiet environment. So I want to just go through some of my top tips in no particular order for making sure that you are optimizing the amount of sleep your patients are getting at night. Now we have on my unit, we're an intermediate unit, and we have a wide spectrum of patient acuity. So I have some patients that come in, they come in for treatment for things like cystic fibrosis, which in the case of those patients, they're usually, unless they're very sick, they're usually very independent. They don't have toileting needs that I need to attend to. Really, I'm just sneaking in here and there in the middle of the night to hang IV antibiotics. So those patients usually do pretty good about getting sleep. And then on the opposite end of the spectrum, we have patients that are completely dependent and very sick. And so those patients, we're going into their rooms very frequently. We're doing, you know, repositioning, medication administration, oral care. We're making sure that their toileting needs are met, and, you know, any number of other things that require that we go into the room pretty often. So my disclaimer is this. I'm not telling you to not do cares on your patients. I'm not telling you that sleep is more important than toileting needs or anything like that. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is that you need to be thinking from start to finish, once sleep hours begin, at whether or not the things that you're doing can wait or not, and whether or not you're doing them in ways that are conducive to a restful environment. So here we go. Let's just do a couple things in no particular order that I'm thinking about. Number one is that if you have things that are not vital to be done at the time that they're ordered, either have those rescheduled by the pharmacy, or if your institution allows you to adjust things a little bit on the medication register, then do it. And what do I mean by this? No, I don't mean withhold their midnight heparin because you don't want to wake them up. Yeah, you might want to reschedule that, you know, instead of doing it at noon and midnight, we can do it at 8 and 8, something like that. But what I'm saying is, like, if your patient has Colace due at 10:30, but all of their other meds are due at 9, really, do you need to wait until that patient's been asleep? You know, they want to go to bed. Do you really need to wake them up an hour and a half into their sleep to give them that Colace? Probably not. Unless there's some reason that you have to wake them up later that evening, give the Colace a little bit early. You know, I had a patient for calcium. He has Tums scheduled. And so, you know, I got used to taking care of him, and I would say to him every night, do you want me to wake you up at 11 for your Tums, or do you just want to take it with your 9:30 scheduled medications? Granted, I'm not giving time-sensitive medications off schedule, but sometimes you can use your nursing judgment to make sure that you're not waking them up to go, hey, here's your Tums. So that's one thing, is make sure that if there are medications that can be moved, you're moving them. Who wants to get a heparin shot at 2 a.m? I mean, come on. Unless they're getting it like Q4 or they're more acute or they're on a heparin drip or something, that's different. But make sure that you're looking at your medication schedules and that they're reasonable for what your patient needs so that we're not just pounding into their room every few hours. With that being said, also cluster your actual cares. So like if you, this was an irritant for me when I was a nursing assistant. So nurse goes in at like 11:45 because the patient needs to have their bed changed. I'm busy. Anyway, the nurse goes in, she gives meds, she turns the patient, she cleans them up, doesn't look at the monitor and notices that their blood pressure hasn't been done. So they turn off all the lights, they tuck the patient in, they say good night, and they close the door. And lo and behold, like 15 to 20 minutes later, I have to go back in there and do their vital signs. And so as a nursing assistant, I got yelled at a lot. Well, why the hell weren't you in here 15 minutes ago? Why didn't the nurse do it? Why blah, 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 blah? Why are you waking me up? So after getting yelled at on and off for years for this reason, I used to try to touch base with my nurses before the shift started or before it got crazy or before whatever set of rounds we were about to do and said, hey, I'm doing this, this, and this thing. Can you, you know, if you go into a room, will you just grab a blood pressure? I'll chart it or whatever. Make deals with your support staff between nurses and nursing assistants so that we're not going into the room unnecessarily and so that we're not getting our support staff yelled at because we were just in there and did everything except that one thing. I know we got a lot to do, so I'm sorry, nurses, to put this on you, but this is something that I try to be aware of. If I'm going in there at 3:30 in the morning and they have vitals due at 4, help everybody out. Just slap a blood pressure cuff on them, get that set of blood, you know, do it while you're scanning your meds in, whatever. Make use of your time. All right, enough on that point. Let's keep moving. I think this is number 3. Close the fucking door. You have no idea how many times I've gone into a room. Okay, first of all, I'm really sensitive to sound. So these, I'm giving you tips that I try to follow. When I go into a patient room at night, unless that patient's already awake or there's some reason that I have to have the door open, I close the door behind me. And I do it very quietly. Don't slam it. Be gentle. Be a safe breaker. Close that door slowly and quietly, because you would not be surprised how many times I've gotten into a room to like hang an IV med or do something in which I don't have to disturb the patient and they're asleep. And I leave the door open and someone a minute later in the hallway yells down the hall, "Don't worry, I'll get it." And now my patient has heard it. They're awake. They've got all these needs that they didn't have just a second ago because they're awake and maybe they're agitated again. Maybe it took them a long time to get to sleep. By not closing the door, I've woken up somebody that I didn't need to wake up. And all night shift nurses know a sleeping patient is generally a happy patient. So be mindful. Close the door behind you. Don't blast them with light if you don't have to. Like, obviously, if you're starting an IV or something, use the light that you need to do it safely. But I get so pissed off when nurses come in, or anybody, nurses, doctors, CNA, family members, the patient's sound asleep, and you come in and you flip the overhead light on with no warning. If you did that to me in my bedroom, you would immediately have an agitated person on your hands. So think about what stimulus you're creating and how it would feel to you if you were in the dark of your bedroom and suddenly there's noise and light and all of that sort of thing. So close your door behind you if you can. I try to remember to silence my phone when I'm in the room because we carry phones that allow us to communicate with each other. I try not to silence it if I don't have to, but if it's like the middle of the night and my patient just fell asleep, I'm going to silence that phone. I'm going to, you know, rest it somewhere that I can see it. So like on the keyboard of my computer or something so that I'm not going to miss something while I'm in there. But I do everything I can to minimize sound. On the flip side of things, if you're at the nurse's station or in the hallway and you have doors that have to stay open, like we sometimes will have doors open near the nurse's station so we can see our patients if they're a fall risk or if they're on a vent or something like that. So sometimes you need a line of sight. If that's the case, shut your mouth. Most night nurses are really good about this, but I have had some coworkers that are so freaking loud in the middle of the night that I can hear them in a room with the door closed down the hall. It's not okay. There are some things that you absolutely cannot avoid. You need to communicate. Sometimes you need to do that across a distance in the nurse's station or the hallway. But please, please, guys, don't be raising your voices, laughing. Just because you're in the break room around the corner doesn't mean that sound isn't going to bounce off of every wall in that place. So be really mindful of what you're doing and how loud it is. And I encourage you, when you go into a room and you close the door behind you, while it's quiet, before you do anything, just listen for a second. What can you hear in that room with the door closed? Can you hear, in my case, you can hear sometimes the hospitals landing on the building next door. The helicopters landing on the building next door. Or you can hear the ventilation or toilets flushing or carts rolling down the hall. There is so much noise. So don't be a contributor to that. Don't make noise that you don't have to. You don't need to listen to the latest Kesha video on full volume at the nurse's station. It doesn't need to happen. And then also, I want to talk about environment. So I've worked with nurses. I've worked in a hospital like 13 years. So I've worked with a lot of different nurses on a lot of units. And it really, it gets me, it confuses me when a nurse has a patient, oh, they won't go to sleep. Oh, I wish they'd just go to sleep. Oh, this patient was on the call light all night. And then I go in the room and every light in the room is on. The TV is full volume, the computer monitor next to the bed that we use to scan meds is on, the heart monitor is at full volume. Come on, could you fall asleep in that room? So I encourage you to, especially a night shift, like when you're doing your set of vitals or you're looking over your heart rhythms, the way our monitors are set up, we have the main monitors at the nurse's station. Those are loud AF, and we can't really do much about that. But in the rooms, we have monitors. We have volume control on each of the monitors at the bedside. So I, at night, will turn those alarms way down. Because here's the thing. If I'm standing at the bedside, I don't need it to be that loud to hear it. If I'm not at the bedside, I'm going to hear it at the nurse's station. So there's no reason to torture your patient with screaming high alarms in the middle of the night, because then it's going to interrupt sleep. It's going to increase anxiety. It's going to make them irritable. It's going to make you irritable. So if you can control volumes of things, turn them down. I don't recommend this on IV pumps or epidurals or PCAs. I kind of like those loud. And if families complain or patients complain, I say, you want me to know when this is alarming. So if I turn it down, somebody needs to be responsible for either doing more frequent rounding or, if there's a family member that can call out when the patient can't, whatever it is, make sure you can hear those alarms. The heart monitor, however, my patient doesn't need to know that they threw a PVC at 3 a.m. by bing, bing, bing. I mean, sorry, guys. I will probably edit that sound out because it just maxed out my my monitors. But you get the point. That's really unpleasant for me to all of a sudden throw some really loud sounds in your ears. Our patients don't want that either. So dim the lights, turn down the TV, unless the patient adamantly is like, I can't sleep with the lights off or the TV off, then, close the door so you're not interrupting the sleep of other patients. And then last but not least, if you're anything like my hospital, we are really blessed. So we have stashes in our storeroom of earplugs and eye masks and things to help drown out the noises and sounds that we can't do anything about. If you have access to these, make sure you're offering them. We have little radios in some of our rooms and CDs. We have noise, like white noise machines, turn a fan on, do something to kind of create that white noise or that basically just make an environment that's more conducive to sleep. Now, some nurses, especially night nurses, they can sleep anywhere. We've gotten used to sleeping with bright light and lawnmowers and doorbells and phones ringing and kids needing our attention. So we maybe have developed some calluses over this area of our lives. But our patients, not only are they sleep deprived, dude, I think about how I feel after a really long night shift and I don't get home right away. I give report in the morning. I'm not sure what I've told the nurse and what I haven't. I'm slurring my words. I'm, you know, saying things, using words incorrectly. I'm a mess because I'm tired and my brain is exhausted. Now imagine that that's been going on days or weeks, or in the case of some of my patients, months. Now add illness on top of that. Now add the fact that you have different caretakers with different styles of doing things all the time, every 8 to 12 hours. Sleep deprivation is messed up. And then when our patients can't sleep and they become delirious, then we medicate them. And then we say, oh, their days and nights are mixed. And then they're awake during the day because they have tests and physical therapy and visitors and doctors. And there's so much more going on. So really, the only shot we got is getting them to sleep at night if we want any kind of therapeutic healing to occur. Now, there are a lot more things we can do to, you know, protect sleep. Sometimes it just can't be helped. I'm going to say it again one more time as I close out here. Don't withhold cares that are vital to your patient's well-being. Change their briefs. Change their chucks. Give them their pain meds. Reposition them so they don't get sores. All of these things are important. I'm not ever going to tell you not to do the things that are important. And sometimes we can't control it. Sometimes we have to hang that IV med late because pharmacy was backed up and didn't send it on time. Or sometimes our patients need to be repositioned every 2 hours because they're at such risk for skin breakdown. Always use your best judgment. But just, you know, remember the things I've said. Take note of what your unit sounds like at night. Can you hear things from in the room when you're in the room? I challenge you. That is my challenge as I wrap this up. I challenge each and every one of you that works night shift. Some night when you go into a room, if your patient is asleep or calm, close the door and just listen. What do you hear? What could you eliminate? What sounds drive you crazy at work? And what are you doing to minimize them? Last but not least, I'll leave you with this thought. So I'm in a BSN program, and we recently talked about healthy environments, environments that promote well-being and healing. And one of the things that we talked about was the noise on the unit. And I know other hospitals, including mine in the past, have done QI projects where we've tried to measure the noise, or at least determine how noisy it is and what we can do to improve. So I, in my discussion group for class, was recommended to download this free app called Decibel X. And I'm opening it right now. It's a really simple program. There is a paid version. Granted, I cannot vouch for the validity of the measurements, but essentially this is a measurement of the decibels of noise occurring around your phone. So as I'm talking right now, I'm registering between like 68 and 75 on the decibel scale, but that's partly because I have the phone really close to my face. In the bar up at the top, it tells me what sounds usually fall in this decibel range. So right now it's telling me that my voice is kind of somewhere between the inside of a car and normal conversation. So I know that this is accurate, okay? I'm having a conversation, so it's registering right. I had this at work the other day, and I set it down right next to our heart monitors. We have new heart monitors, and the jury's still out as to whether or not we can adjust the volume on these. But the decibel level of our high alarms was over 100 decibels. And according to this app, 100 decibels, first of all, it goes into the red zone about 95. And from about 100 to 110, it reads as things like a diesel engine. Yeah. So essentially, when we get up to 100 decibels, it's telling me it's like equivalent to like a diesel engine. So essentially, our heart monitors, the screeching pitch hits 100, and I think it was like 108 or something was the max that I saw. So essentially, we are projecting the sound of a diesel engine every time one of those goes off, and they go off a lot. So the point I'm making is this app can be really helpful in determining whether or not your unit has some work to do on noise or whether or not you're doing okay. So I encourage you all to download this. There are probably lots of other apps that do this as well, but just take it to your unit, set it down. You know, obviously this is not recording, so there's no HIPAA violation, but it'll just tell you, are you being really loud or are you guys doing okay? So as a veteran night shifter, I think this is something that we all need to be thinking about. Those that rotate from days to nights, you might not be thinking about it as much because during the daytime, some units, like mine, are like a busy airport. There is so much noise and chaos and I shouldn't say chaos, like it's organized chaos, but it's so loud that it's really hard to notice how loud these things are. As soon as people leave and the TVs are turned off and everybody starts to settle in, things that are not even noticed during the day become such a nuisance noise at night. So, all right, guys, tell me, what are you doing to protect sleep? What do you do to protect your own sleep? And is it something that you can bring to the office, so to speak, and use for your patients? I want to hear your suggestions. I want to hear your critiques. I want to hear it all. So go ahead and comment. I'm going to post this, as usual, on our website at medroomchronicles.com. So thank you for joining me, and I will talk to you guys very soon. We've got some interviews coming up, so don't go too far. We'll be back. Happy nursing, guys. Here at MedRoom Chronicles, we may be uncensored, but we are not unfiltered. Protected health information has been changed and concealed to comply with HIPAA of 1996. The things we talk about are combinations of years of experience with thousands of patients, things we've read, stories we've heard. If you think we're talking about you, trust me, we're not. Also, we're real nurses here to provide accurate and helpful info, but don't take us as fact without doing your own research. Refer to your state's Board of Nursing, Practice Acts, and your institution's policies and procedures if you have questions about your practice. Lastly, our very strong opinions are ours alone and do not reflect those of our employers or educational institutions. Thanks for listening, and happy nursing, guys.